abilities have negatively impacted constitution to a high degree. Each point allocated will increase your modifier by 1/100th of a point. An exception to this is when you gain your first 10 points in any category. At this point, your score will increase to 1.1 in that category. Moving forward, each time a category increases to the next multiple of 50, the base score will increase by 1. At 50 points, your modifier will be plus 2. At 100 points, the modifier will be plus 3. For example, a character with 49 points in a category will have a modifier of 1.49, which is 49% stronger than an average human. Then, if they reach 50 points in the category, they will jump to a modifier of 2.0. The discrepancy in strength is intended to push you to develop as fast as possible. Skill in the areas you focus on will quickly allow you to reach higher than others of the same level, even if you have similar stats. You can earn skill points and characteristic points through your actions, so work hard. You will need to be as powerful as possible when the first major update comes into effect. That is, if you want to survive.
Ominous ending, but seriously. Ouch. Forget the high stats. Those low scores made his character barely playable. A negative modifier like this could destroy his gameplay. What would a .04 modifier do to him? If he read the information correctly, a modifier of 1 was considered standard for a person, and was about the equivalent of a fit teenaged human in the real world. Anything below 1 could seriously impact almost all areas of his new life, and his strength modifier would leave him too weak to do almost anything. By the looks of his constitution, a spray splinter may actually kill him. He began with only 4 points to spend, so he put 2 in constitution and 2 in charisma, reasoning that social interactions would be a huge part of gameplay. He shuddered to think about how people would react to a person that much less charismatic than the average human. What was the sample size for that rating? Joey had the disturbing feeling that it was somehow everyone in the real world. After the points were distributed, he was asked to input a name. Since he could never start a new one and would be around a long time, he chose Joe as his screen name. Somehow, that hadn't been chosen yet, most likely because there were going to be 1,000 versions of Shadow or Slayer out there. He didn't get to put in a last name, but his title appeared automatically with the option to change or hide it. He accepted the changes and looked at the details that described his new and permanent self. Name, Joe, try me with trials. Class, cleric, actual ritualist. Profession, locked. Level, 1. Experience, 0. Experience to next level, 1,000. Hit points, 50 out of 50. Modifier, 50 plus 0. Mana, 400 out of 400. Modifier, 12.5 per point of intelligence, plus 100% from deity. Mana regen, 4 per second. Modifier, 0.25 per point of wisdom. Stamina, 50 out of 50. Modifier, 50 plus 0 plus 0. 10 points for each point in constitution, once it is increased above 10. 5 points for each point in strength, once it is increased above 10. 5 points for each point in constitution, once it is increased above 10. Characteristic, raw score, modifier. Strength, 6, modifier 0.06. Dexterity, 6, modifier 0.06. Constitution, 6, modifier 0.06. Intelligence, 16, modifier 1.16. Wisdom, 16, modifier 1.16. Charisma, 10, modifier 1.10. Perception, 16, modifier 1.16. Luck, 12, modifier 1.12. Karmic luck, 0. Class skills and spells. Heal, novice 1. Select a target to heal, restoring 5N HP, where N equals skill level. Range, 5 meters. Mana cost, 5N. Cooldown, 3 seconds. Dark vision. Able to see in total darkness with no penalties. Range of vision is halved. Passive, no cost. Hidden sense, novice 1. An innate sense that allows you to find hidden items, people, or knowledge affected by perception. Passive, no cost. Pray, novice 1. Spend a full minute praying for help or guidance. Results vary. Less likely to succeed if deity is occupied. No cost. Cooldown, 1 day. Ritual magic, novice 1. Ability to create, maintain, and change rituals much more efficiently than usual. Minus 5% mana and component cost per skill level. Ritualist class exclusive. Minus 50% mana and component cost. Joey had no money or gear on him, but apparently had one skill point he couldn't assign until the second level. Not that he knew what it would do. He looked at the skill descriptions and a handy pop-up informed him that most skills and spells started at novice and would get progressively better as they were used. When the level passed 9, the skill would be upgraded to a 0 of the next rank. From lowest to highest, the ranks of skills were novice, beginner, apprentice, student, journeyman, expert, master, grandmaster, and sage. Looked like it would be a long journey to perfect a skill. Joe looked over all the options one more time, and after finalizing his decisions, he took a deep breath and accepted the character. The world dissolved into shimmering motes of light, and Joe reappeared in a bustling city. Chapter 5.
Welcome to Ardania, capital city of the newly returned to the world human kingdom. It's actually been about 200 years, so I don't know why that is still part of the greeting. Maybe it is because you travelers don't know our history?
A verbose lady greeted Joe as he appeared in a daze. The overload of information didn't help his confusion.
Can I please ask your class so that I know where to direct you for some initial training?
Yeah, thanks. I'm a cleric! Joe nearly slapped himself at the close call. Right. Ritualist needed to stay hidden or people would not trust him for some reason. He tried to smile brightly, but he was trembling from the strain of standing upright. Joe stooped a bit, letting his muscles relax as he looked down at his skeletal body. People were going to think that he was a ghoul. He just knew it.
Oh! Do you know any magic? What deity do you serve?
She looked at him with shining eyes, paying far more attention than he thought he deserved with his non-enhanced charisma. Yes, I can heal and pray for guidance, but my god is, I don't know yet. I'm undecided? Joe hedged his words, trying not to give too much away.
That's great! I'm sure you'll be asked to join a whole bunch of groups right away. Awesome! I got to meet you before you were popular. How about you head over there for some instruction?
She pointed to an open courtyard, and a prompt appeared in front of his tired-looking face.
Quest alert. Baby steps. Learn some basic information about using your abilities. Reward. Cleric Scepter. Experience 100. Accept or decline.
Accepting the quest, he thanked the energetic lady and walked slowly toward the area she had indicated. He looked around, taking in all of the sights and sounds of the city. Joey was full of wonder. He had always needed glasses, and after several years in the army, his hearing had been badly damaged. Now, his vision felt as sharp as an eagle's, and his hearing was like that of a bat. He could clearly make out details that he never would have been able to before, and it seemed that he could hear everything for several city blocks while still being able to make out individual conversations. To be fair, he was exaggerating quite a bit, but it didn't change the fact that perception was amazing. Then he got a whiff of the city and nearly gagged. Oh, right. A high perception had serious negatives as well. It seemed that hygiene wasn't overly important here. Joe hurried at a snail's pace toward the square where a soldier, in obviously enchanted armor which gave off its own glow, was screaming at some low-level fighter-type player.
"You call that an attack? I'm surprised that sword had enough force to make it to the dummy, you dummy! How the abyss do you plan on taking down monsters when you can barely lift your weapon? Go find a bow or some other coward's weapon!" the trainer screamed in the player's face.
The person on the receiving end of the shouting had a totally blank expression. In fact, it seemed he actually had only one facial expression at all, indicating that this must be one of the players who played with an outdated VR helmet.
"Anyone know how to skip conversations?"
the trainee suddenly yelled in an echoing voice at the people around him, making the soldier glare at him.
"You want to skip conversations? Fine, you pompous little ass! You are going to die out there, and I refuse to have it on my conscience!"
The guard turned, furious, and walked stiffly away, catching sight of Joe as he moved.
"You! What do you want?"
"I'm here for training, sir,"
Joe respectfully informed him, trying not to make him angrier than he currently was.
"No!"
the guard grunted, looking at Joe's sallow face, stooped and skeletal frame, and meager amount of muscle. He sighed, seeming to deflate as he looked at the wreck of a body.
"Sorry to say, lad, there is not much that I can do for you. You are polite, at least, but politeness doesn't kill wolves. A sharp blade does."
"Well, I'm not really here to learn about swinging weapons around. I'm a cleric. I was hoping to find someone to teach me how to refine my craft. Healing and such."
Joe trailed off as the guard got an odd look on his face.
"You mean you are a healer, right? A doctor? Bandages and such are in the supply shed over there."
He pointed at a small building to the side.
"No, sir. I'm a cleric. I'm supposed to be able to heal with magic, but I'm unsure how to actually do it,"
Joe stated sincerely, not breaking eye contact.
"Well, I'll be," the guard's brow furrowed. "Never seen one of you magic types here before. If you want, you can heal some of my guards, and I'll try to find a suitable reward for you. Sorry to say I won't be much use teaching you magic, though. If you need to learn, why don't you..." He snickered a little. "Pray about it. A cleric. That's a good one."
He walked away chuckling, mood seemingly much better than it was previously. Joe was a bit miffed, but stopped himself from lashing out. The guard had a point. Why not pray about it? He did have that option after all. Joe clasped his hands together and asked for guidance, and after a full minute of waiting, he suddenly knew. He looked at the guards that he had been instructed to heal. A red outline showed up where they were injured, and a blue outline appeared around his hand. He moved his fingers in the patterns shown by the blue light and pushed his intent to heal into the burgeoning spell. A ball of water launched from his hand, splashing against the guard he was targeting. The guard released a startled oath, making a few people laugh. The guard's face reddened, and he took a few threatening steps toward Joe before stopping in wonder. He took another step, testing the ankle that had given him trouble for years, then rushed over to the unknown person and thanked him loudly and profusely. A few of the other guards saw this and moved closer, clamoring for Joe to heal them as well after hearing the thankful words being sent his way. Joe repeated his actions, and small orbs of water left his hands to splash against the guards. After the fifth one had been healed, a notification appeared.
Quest complete. Baby steps. Experience 100.
Nice! He had finished that quest in no time flat, as, he supposed, was the intent. The guard that had assigned the quest came over to talk to the men he had healed, and a sheepish look appeared on his face. The guard that had been directing the training then came to talk to Joe.
"Well,
Thank you, Holy One. I am sorry that I didn't trust your words, but false healers come through here all the time, peddling snake oil and cures that are often worse than the disease. We haven't had a real cleric offer their services to the guards in over a decade. The gods have been absent from the common man for too long. If you'll wait here, I'll go get you something we've been hanging on the off chance it would be of use.
He walked to the storage shed and rummaged around for a few minutes, coming back with a carved piece of wood.
Here, this is a cleric scepter. Using this will slightly increase the speed with which you can cast your spells.
Joe looked at the information that popped up when he touched the scepter.
Basic cleric scepter. Wood. Adds 2 to 4 blunt damage on strike. Minus 10% cast time when casting cleric spells. 5% chance to use ability, turn undead, on strike. To cast while holding, simply focus your will and intent into the scepter, and it will do the rest.
Listen, cleric. My men don't have much, but they are good men. For some reason, just over a month ago, we had a huge influx of travelers. Some of them seemed to delight in causing havoc, and a portion of them seemed to feel no pain. I am the captain of the guard, and I feel responsible for my people. My men can't keep up with the crime spikes and have been getting hurt in the line of duty. Without proper care or magic, they are slowly becoming permanently injured. Will you help us out?
The guard did his best not to beg, but it was clear that he would if needed. Quest alert. Baby steps 2. Heal at least 10 guards. Reward. Experience 200. Increased reputation with human city guards and 1 piece of light armor. Variable. Joe accepted the quest with a nod. What exactly did variable mean? A smile on his face, the guard captain ran off to send injured guards to the city square. Soon, a steady stream of guards walked, limped, or were carried into the area. He moved to the one that was carried in first, focusing his mind on trying to inspect the man's health bar.
Perception plus healing check succeeded. City guard. Health. 8 out of 1,000.
Oh, wow. No wonder this guy was barely moving.
Joe got to work. Instead of standing back and throwing ice-cold water on the damaged man, he moved forward and put his hands next to the wound, trying to be as gentle as possible. He cast the spell 10 times in roughly 30 seconds, essentially as fast as he was able to make the proper motion without his scepter. He didn't want to be poking a wounded man with a stick, after all. After 10 casts, a new prompt appeared.
Congratulations. Hard work is paying off. You have learned a variant of the heal spell. Lay on hands. Novice 1. Effect. Increased healing when touching the target of the spell. Healing done. 10N where N equals skill level. Cost. 5N mana. Cooldown. 3 seconds. Range. Touch. As this is a variant of the spell Heal, it will add progress to the skill rank of the original as it is leveled and can never have a higher level than the origin skill.
Joe quickly switched to using this new spell, casting it 4 times in quick succession. He began to feel tired, but continued spamming the spell until the guard reached maximum health. The now vigorous man stood tall and whooped for joy, dancing around and then profusely thanking Joe before running off. After that initial worst case, Joe was able to quickly soothe the injuries of the other guards in the area, far more than the 10 needed to fulfill the quest. Being a medic for so long made it hard for him to leave suffering people, especially soldiers, to their fate. Luckily, with his huge mental scores boosting his power, he had a massive mana pool that refilled almost as fast as he managed to use it. When the last guard left the yard, he returned to the captain who shook his hand, tears in his eyes.
Thank you, lad. You don't know how much this means to all of us. You really went above and beyond what I asked for. Some of the boys chipped in a few coins to reward you with some proper armor. So I pulled out the good stuff for you. It doesn't look like much, but it's the best we can do. This should help keep you alive, which is what you did for all of us.
Quest complete. Baby steps 2. For going beyond the requirements without asking for or expecting an increased reward, the rewards have been doubled. Reputation gain has been tripled. Note, this is uncommon in a harsh, uncaring world such as Eternia. Experience, 400. Reputation with human city guards has been increased by 3,000 from neutral directly to friend of human guards, bypassing reluctantly friendly and friendly. 1,000 reputation points remain to reach ally of human guards status. Since this is your first reputation gain, please note that there are many distinct levels of reputation, from lowest to highest, blood feud, loathed, hated, hostile, cautious, neutral, reluctantly friendly, friend, ally, and extended family. There are 1,000 points between each level.
Here you go. I hope it fits.
The captain hesitated before he handed over a soft robe that Joe put on before even reading the stats.
I want you to know that as good as this robe is, it can easily be used for completely evil purposes, but it's all we could find.
Thank you, Joe exclaimed, feeling the plushy robe.
It did not look like a bathrobe. Totally not. More like a typical monk's outfit. He didn't hear the guard's final few sentences. Rather, he did hear them, but the words didn't register.
No, young man, thank you. Bobby was stabbed almost to death in an alley yesterday, in broad daylight. Without you, he would have likely died today.
The captain looked away to try to hide his misty eyes.
There was nothing we could do. We were getting a death fund ready for his wife and kids.
After a slightly uncomfortable silence, Joe coughed and redirected the conversation away from tear-jerking dialogue.
Is there anything else I can do to help? He queried in a blatant attempt to get another quest.
The captain shook his head knowingly.
I think you have a good handle on your abilities. Good luck out there. Please feel free to stop by any time you like, and if we have injured, we will pay what we can for your skills if you'd be willing.
Joe agreed to help in the future if it was needed, thanking him and then walking a good distance away before pausing to look at the stats on his robe. Perception check failed. Knowledge check failed. Overruled. Quest reward and owner of item. Undying robe. Item class. Uncommon. Adds +5 physical defense. 20% resistance to non-magical cold. Special qualities. Any damage that does more than 20% of your max health at once, which would normally kill you, instead leaves you at 1 health point. Note, being hit while at 1 health will still kill you. Cooldown, 30 minutes. Also known as Robes of Despair or Robes of Torture, this item is often used by interrogators to ensure that they don't accidentally kill their captive.
Wow.
Why were these labeled as uncommon? Maybe this item just wouldn't be useful for a regular player? That could make sense. It was likely that warriors had hundreds of health. But for Joe, with his tiny health bar and poor ability in escaping combat, this may save his life many times. After all, 20% of his health only amounted to a grand total of 10 points. Lost in thought, Joe went into the city and started walking around a bit aimlessly. Each time he passed a guard, they would smile and wave, which helped him feel relaxed even when he was around some shady-looking people. Joe supposed that word had already gotten around about the cleric that helped guards and hoped that if he were mugged, the guards would jump in to help him. Not that he needed to worry too much since he did not have any money on him. His gold had been put directly into a bank account, so that he didn't spawn into the game with a mountain of money crushing him. Thinking about changing his monetary situation, he didn't want to waste time finding a bank to make a withdrawal. Instead, he started looking for the lifeblood of gaming. Quests. After wandering for a good chunk of time, he was feeling frustrated. There were no glowing lights to signify a quest giver, and he had no map or way to find his way around. This game was very realistic in almost every way, the main difference being that science had been replaced with magic, and he was now living in a medieval setting. It seemed that literacy was a given, though, because most signs had words, and there were many chalkboards up with announcements. Was paper expensive? Reading everything he could, he eventually spotted a job board that had standing orders for furs, crafting materials, and other odds and ends. Most were written with extra thick chalk, which made a few of the requests a bit ambiguous. Was that a request for collecting demons or lemons? They really shouldn't have used cursive. Looking around, he spotted a group of armed and armored people about to head out of the gates, obviously getting ready to fight some creatures in the wild.
"Excuse me," Joe called, jogging over to them, jogging being a polite exaggeration in this case.
He had to fight not to show how winded that short jaunt made him, but his pale face easily gave him away.
Freaking constitution. "I notice you only have 4 people, whiz, in your group. Do you have room for one more?" "Oh God, it's a noob," one of them muttered intentionally loudly. "Run for it."
"Sorry, broski, we're a pre-made team. We don't accept randos, especially level 1 randos,"
one of them snorted with a thick Californian accent.
"Go do some social quests or something. I bet someone around here needs a letter delivered."
They left Joe standing there with his mouth open, shocked at their casual rudeness. A moment later, he felt a hand on his shoulder and turned to see a powerfully built lady patting him on the arm.
"Don't mind them. They're part of a guild that considers themselves hardcore players. They've been going 12 hours a day since day 1. Real-world hours, that is. You looking for a team? I might be able to help you out depending on what kind of skills you have."
She grinned at him, reminding him a little too much of a shark.
"Thank you. I am looking for a team. I'm level 1, but I'm a cleric. I have 2 healing spells, a ranged one and a touch version. I hear clerics are rare," Joe smoothly responded, knowing that he would be a valuable asset and determined not to sell himself short. "Do you think that I could be useful to your team?"
"A real cleric? Magical and whatnot?"
Her eyes bulged a bit, and she waggled her fingers at him as she spoke.
"Yes?" Joe responded in confusion.
That was standard for a cleric, wasn't it?
"Oh, they're going to be so pissed that they ignored you,"
she chuckled, eyes sparkling.
"Can you prove it? I got hurt the other day, and healing in this game is really slow. If you get hurt badly enough, it might be days before you get back to full health. You need to fully respond to fix issues sometimes."
"Sure."
He inspected her health bar, which was indeed missing a few chunks. Strange. It was like the last bits of the bar were grayed out. Perhaps her health couldn't increase past that point without magical assistance? That unless you did something like physical therapy, were directly healed or sent to respawn, you just never got back to full health? He reached out and placed a hand on her, activating his touch healing spell. She shuddered as ice-cold water dripped down her shirt.
"Ah, you bastard! That's not funny. I never signed up for a wet t-shirt."
Her voice cut off as her health maxed out.
"Hot damn. You'd better come with me before someone assaults you with unrelenting guild invites."
They went to a local tavern where she introduced him to a few people, including her guild leader.
"If you join the Wanderers, I promise you won't regret it. I'll make sure to set you up with a solid team, and we'll get you to level 10 within 3 weeks. At that point, you should be able to resurrect people. Well, That's the hope, anyway. There aren't any other clerics right now, so the data is unclear. This will be a huge advantage to our guild, and I'll make sure you are properly compensated. You'll be a guild officer right away. Tiona, set up a standard officer contract and we'll...
The guildmaster was cut off abruptly as Joe shook his head.
Sorry, I can't accept the guild invite. I have a quest line which I'm sure is going to take me across a huge amount of land, so I can't promise to stay tied to a guild or the city without talking to my deity.
I'll go crazy worrying about it otherwise, Joe informed the guild leader in a quasi-sad tone.
If I don't complete my quest, I could lose all of my cleric abilities.
The man scoffed at this.
You are level one! It can't be that great of a quest. Plus, the weakest monster out there, a rabbit, is level three. You are supposed to spend at least a week doing social quests in town before ever going out there. Whatever god you follow won't be that much of an asshole, right? Sending you out defenseless? Without help or a team?
I'll make you a deal, Joe offered frankly. One of the most important things he had learned in the army was to be assertive.
I'll join you, on a temporary basis. I'll heal people, you help me gain levels and skill. At any point, I have the option to leave with no hard feelings. I will not leave the guild if my leaving will make a party member fail a quest. Wait, I'll add a qualifier to that. I won't leave so long as the quest is finished within a timely manner. None of this faffing around to keep me in the guild indefinitely. I'm just not sure that joining a guild is the way to...
Done! If it is a choice between that or losing you to some crap guild like the Hardcores, I'll take that offer any day.
The GM set down a new piece of paper that his scribe had handed over, detailing every aspect of the conversation and deal they had just talked about, as well as other standard guild details.
You can stay here. We own the inn. Did you want to go hunting today? The faster we get you leveled, the better for all of us.
Yes, please. How long will it take to get to level 5? I'm really looking forward to getting a profession,
Joe mentioned offhandedly. He read the contract carefully and signed after making sure there were no hidden loopholes.
Minor achievement. Joined a guild. Good for you. Have some experience. Experience 10.
At least the system wasn't overly snarky like some other games tended to be. For some reason, programmers seemed to think people only responded to mean messages. Sometimes it was nice to get just the details.
Humph. Well, it usually takes a week or so when power leveling like this. If you were able to fight monsters directly, one-on-one like a warrior, it would be a lot faster. As a cleric, I have no idea, the guild leader told him. You might gain more, you might get less.
Fair enough.
Whose team will I be on? Joe looked around at the people bustling around, all of them seeming to be in a hurry. Oh, right. It should be Sunday right now. People were trying to maximize their playtime before the work week.
Well, since she found you and hers is the only team not full right now, head out with Tiona. Good luck.
The man looked at his interface, going far too still. He must have taken off his helmet and was getting a drink or something in the real world, leaving his character to sit unattended. It was painfully obvious the conversation was over, and Tiona seemed a bit overexcited. She grabbed Joe with powerful hands and basically dragged him out the door. Not that he was resisting. This was getting fun.
Chapter 6. Super minor achievement. Joined a party. Nice work. Have some experience. Experience 5.
So, here is the deal. Those rabbits are the nastiest thing around until you get about a half mile out. Then foxes show up to eat the rabbits. Also you, if you aren't strong enough or smell like a rabbit. Later, foxes get eaten by wolves. Bears keep the wolves away, and so on till you start seeing magical monsters. There are also wolfmen walking around out there, but they don't seem to fit into these categories. There aren't too much of an issue if you stay out of their territories, but there are a lot of quests to hunt them,
Tiona told Joe.
Don't worry about that, though. Today you have one job and one job only. Don't die. Can you deal with that?
I was a medic on active duty in the army for the last few years, Joe proudly informed her. I got this. Piece of cake.
Oh, good. How did that go? Enjoy your time in the service?
She muttered as she stared down an extra-large rabbit. She loosened her sword and drew it as they got closer.
Not so much. My last day was when my chopper got blown out of the sky.
Joe coughed, face red with embarrassment. He should have kept his mouth shut. She paused.
Yeah. My order stands. Don't die.
She used some blade skill, sending a strange energy out as a slash. A moment later, there was a quickly cut-off squeak followed by squeals of rage as a small group of bunnies ran at them. The rabbits had a small, blunt horn on their heads, and it seemed their main attack was jumping and bashing their opponents. The largest man in the group smoothly intercepted the blow, and a ping was heard as the animal fell in multiple chunks from the oversized sword. Two blades and an arrow worked together to quickly erase these minor threats from existence.
Angry horned rabbit times 5 defeated. Experience 20.
Joe was a bit disheartened. It looked like quests were indeed the best way to gain experience points. 4 points per rabbit? No wonder it took so long to level up.
Let's roll. We have a lot of ground to cover.
Tiona set a brisk pace, and within a few moments, they had left the blood-stained ground behind. They didn't even collect the furs. At this point, they were so common that they were totally worthless. Joe nearly collapsed as they went too fast for him to regenerate stamina, his poor constitution catching up with him again. On one of their frequent rest stops, where they did not actually stop, just slow to a crawl, Tiona grouched at him to increase his constitution so they could jog further at one time.
There are more important things for me to focus on.
Joe wheezed while glaring at his slowly refilling stamina bar. Tiona replied in a non-committal manner.
Well, you are the only one with a mana bar, so I guess whatever you say goes.
Local event. Trespasses. Survive the swarm to gain rewards.
Ambush!
One of the others shouted, making Tiona whip around with her sword in hand. The team's main fighter seemed resigned to his fate.
Crap! It's a swarm! Good game, all. See you tomorrow.
It appeared that one of the members had gotten too close to a rabbit warren, and the horned rabbits were scampering out of the ground in an attempt to overwhelm the humans.
Stop spouting that defeatist crap and get set!
Tiona ordered them to form a defensive ring with their backs to a tree. Joe was stuffed into the protected center as the first rabbits began their attack. Red numbers began appearing above the other party members, and a small list of names with total health appeared in Joe's vision. Only his years in the army kept him from freezing up as cries of agony from both sides began reaching his ears. One of the important features of this game was realistic feedback, specifically pain, which made people play much more carefully. Joe started healing. And since he was so close to the affected individuals, he simply used his spell, Lay on Hands, restoring 10 hit points every 3 seconds to whomever was the most damaged person. Luckily for the group, each individual attack from the rabbits only took a little health from the target, and even that was somewhat mitigated by the armor they were wearing. Unfortunately, however, there were so many attacking rabbits that those points were adding up quickly. Working as fast as possible, Joe kept the mana flowing and the health points increasing.
I cannot believe how useful you are,
one of the men with them chuckled as he skewered a rabbit.
I don't know any other teams that survived a swarm this long, even if they had a higher overall level. And if we win, I'm buying you a drink.
Keep your mind on the target, Dylan,
Tiona snapped at him.
You're slowing down.
Dylan, the main fighter, rolled his eyes.
That's stamina drain. Not my fault.
Push past it. Use more skill and less strength with each swing. They don't all need a full power attack. Go until you collapse, or we're going to lose our cleric on his first day,
Tiona ordered, furiously swinging her blade into the wave of fluffy animals.
I'm doing it, jeez!
Dylan stumbled on his next swing, his low stamina making his attack too slow to kill the rabbit he was aiming at. He overextended and tripped, falling forward and away from the group.
Damn it, Dylan!
Tiona called as the horde of rabbits focused on him. Joe was watching Dylan's health as it swiftly trickled lower and lower. Ignoring the shouts from the others to stay back, he leapt forward and grabbed Dylan's foot as the man struggled weakly to protect his head from the abusive bunnies. Dylan was down to 5 health before the first wash of healing water flowed over him, and he hung on a few more moments as Joe alternated to the regular healing spell, waiting for the touch version's cooldown to reset. Using a spell as soon as it was ready, Joe worked to heal his fallen teammate through the brutal beating. The others had stepped forward as a unit and were killing the rabbits that were entirely focused on Dylan. They were able to kill 2 or even 3 at a time. The population was so dense. 30 seconds and 20 healing spells later, Tiona finished off the last of the stragglers and glared at Joe.
I thought you said you were new to the game.
She pointed her sword at him accusingly. Joe didn't look away from Dylan. He required too much healing.
I am.
Another wash of water swept over the bruised and battered man.
Then how did you know that monsters will almost always focus on helpless targets? You would have died if that weren't the case.
Tiona was looking at him oddly. This has been my job for years. I was a combat medic. Putting myself at risk to save others is just a part of the job. Joe calmly replied as he sent another heal into Dylan. He was up to 1/2 health now, and was able to sit up to begin regaining stamina.
I don't care what your job used to be. From now on, you follow my orders or you are out. I don't care how useful you are.
Tiona barked at him, breaking his concentration.
I don't care if you were a dang-nab general. If you cannot do what I tell you, when I tell you, I will leave you out here to die. You put all of us at risk by breaking formation. The only reason we survived was because we got lucky.
Dylan looked up at Joe and nodded.
She's right. If I had died, it would have been my own cockiness that killed me. But you dying would have killed all the others when that swarm rolled over them. There are different rules here, and you don't know them. I do appreciate it, though. Waiting for respawn sucks.
Joe sat back with a sigh. I understand. My bad. I'm not used to seeing someone come back if they die, so I kind of freaked out. Everything here is just so real.
Well, dying here isn't great. Depending on how much of your death is attributed to stupidity, you can't play for up to 12 hours, which is 24 in-game. If you are in a long-term capsule, you just have to sit and wait. You can access the internet, but it is still boring. VR Helmet is a bit better because they can go do other things,
Tiona described to him, though anything else she was going to say cut off as the experience points came rolling in. Angry Rabbit times 35. Swarm. Slain. Local event trespassers complete. Experience increased due to low average party level. Experience 210. 4 XP times 35 rabbits times 1.5 difficulty. New hidden chain quest. Playing your fake role. 1. Heal at least 50% of damage dealt in 5 battles before combat ends. Reward. Title. I'm a healer, I swear. Effect. Gain bonus experience for every battle that you heal at least 50% of the damage taken before combat ends. 0 of 5 complete. Nice. Joe would work to get that quest done as soon as possible. It was surprising how difficult it was to level up, but Joe supposed that they were fighting rabbits. The party started walking, ignoring the ruined carcasses of rabbits in their hurry to find wolves to fight. Dylan broke the awed silence.
I got 84 experience off of that. I'm getting close to level 6.
Congrats.
Tiona sent a lopsided grin at him.
You would have been there last week if you had bothered to show up for training.
Hey, not all of us can afford not to work and hang out in pods all day.
Dylan laughed aloud, but Tiona's face went white with rage.
Shut it!
She hissed at him.
What if PKers heard you?
Joe looked between Tiona's angry glare and Dylan's admonished face.
What? PKers?
Player killers, Dylan muttered shamefacedly. My bad, boss. Joe, PKers hunt people in pods for a couple reasons. Pod people can feel more pain than a standard player in a VR headset, and obviously, people playing on the older VR versions can't feel much of anything. When you die to a player, you are out of the game for a minimum of 3 to 6 hours, up to 24 if the game AI judges your death to be from something really stupid that was your fault. People in long-term pods are in the game until their contract is up, so dying is not only annoying, it is a huge waste of time and really expensive in real-world money.
So people kill other players just to be assholes? No other benefit?
Joe couldn't believe humans could be so terrible. Tiona turned her glare away from Dylan.
Worse than that. It is actually actively punished by the game. When you kill another player, and if they could see who you were, you have a bounty placed on you. Masks and other gear could hide your name, but you need to have contact with shady organizations in order to get them. While your name was read, anyone can kill you without repercussions. You have a chance to lose gear if you die, and NPCs will attack you if you try to enter the city. The bounty does wear off over time, especially if you killed plenty of monsters, but there is a good chance that you just don't survive the experience.
Yup. You don't drop anything if killed by a player, and they don't get experience for it either. Usually, PKers are outdated VR gamers who are pissed that they don't have the funds to experience modern virtual reality themselves, Dylan informed him. So you really want to keep that info on the down low, you dig?
Sure?
Joe was a bit nonplussed about the terminology. He had been out of high school for over a decade. Why can't people just speak properly? This sort of crap led to miscommunication and misunderstandings. He shook his head. Tiona snapped her fingers.
Foxes ahead. Focus, please.
An arrow snapped out, hitting a fox in the eye and killing it instantly.
Heh. Critical hit.
The team's ranger chuckled. Something was bothering Joe. He finally realized what it was.
So, real-world damage is the same here?
Meaning,
hit an eye, cut a throat, stab a heart, and they die?
Joe clarified for him.
Yup,
the archer offered verbosely. Joe looked at his character sheet.
Also, I didn't get any experience for that fox.
Didn't participate, did ya? I'm betting that as a healer you will need to be in a battle mindset in order to get experience. You didn't think of yourself as a participant in that, since it was a ranged attack. The AI in control of the game takes that into account. The more you contribute, the better the reward. That's why you probably got decent experience for that swarm, and maybe some from when they get real close to you.
The archer nodded sagely at him.
I see.
Joe didn't offer his experience gains to the group, preferring to remain mysterious.
I did just get a quest that will give me experience for healing when I complete it. All I need to do is heal 50% of the damage done to us 5 times before combat ends.
Tiona perked up.
Oh, really? That will make leveling you into a useful player a lot faster and easier. We try hard not to get hit, so you won't need to heal much to complete your quest.
Thanks.
Joe was fairly certain she had insulted him.
I'm useful.
A little,
she conceded, attacking a fox that burst from the underbrush.
But until you gain a few levels, you won't really be useful. You can just heal a bit.
Joe looked on dejectedly as the foxes were eliminated before he could get in a swing. He swung his scepter when one got close, but it easily dodged. He looked at his status bars. That single attack had drained his stamina by half. He really needed to find some attack magic. His enthusiasm ramped up again as a fox got close enough to bite Tiona on the ankle.
Yes!
Ow!
Tiona glared at Joe as her sword sliced into the offending creature.
What the heck are you cheering for? I got bit!
Sorry about that, but now I can at least heal you. Need that quest progress. Joe poked her on the neck and let icy water wash down her back. She yelped louder than when she had been bit and viciously took out her rage on the next fox. As it died, a message sprung into Joe's vision. Playing your fake role. 1 out of 5 complete.
Nice! Just need to heal y'all 4 more times. Who wants to take one for the team?
Joe looked around expectantly. No one met his gaze except a glaring Tiona.
You realize that it actually hurts to get bit, clawed, or bludgeoned, right?
Her eyebrow was twitching.
Well, yeah, but...
No buts?
She jabbed a finger into his chest.
It's obvious you haven't taken damage yet, or else you wouldn't be excitedly telling someone else to get hurt for you. This is one of those quests we aren't going to rush for you. We get hurt plenty. Just wait until it happens naturally.
Joe hung his head. Sorry, guys. I wasn't thinking about that.
Not a problem, buddy. Dylan slapped Joe on the back. Just remember that to anyone who is in a capsule, this is real life until their contract is up. Pain hurts, and dying is avoided if at all possible. Think like that, and you are good. Play like it isn't a game.
Dylan's words put Joe's situation in perspective perfectly. As a medic, he would have never wanted someone to get hurt so he could practice on them. His whole career was based on prevention of injury and getting people back on their feet as soon as possible. This was his new life. For all he knew, his body had already been incinerated. He needed to treat this as real life, and from now on, he would.
Anyway, we are almost to the wolves. They hunt in small packs, so our defenses need to be perfect.
Tiona changed the subject when she was satisfied that she saw real remorse in Joe's eyes.
We cut through the most narrow fox area, so be prepared to fight.
They walked around for a few minutes, looking for any signs of movement. The further they moved from the city, the slower they moved. Dylan gave a great heaving sigh and groaned.
Where are the stupid things?
His words seemed to be a trigger, because a wolf pounced at him from a bush and clamped its jaws around Dylan's leg. With a snarl and a sharp jerk, the leg was twisted and dislocated with a loud pop. Dylan howled with pain as the remaining members of his group attacked the creature. Tiona was the only one with experience fighting wolves, so while the others were focused on helping Dylan, she turned and swung blindly behind them. Her sword impacted a leaping canine, which yelped and fell to the ground with a chunk of fur torn off of it. Taking advantage of its helpless state, she stabbed down through its chest to execute the creature. Joe was so surprised that he forgot to heal right away, and instead swung his scepter at the wolf holding Dylan. Bonk! A damage indicator showing a red zero popped up over the animal, meaning that his most vicious strike directly to the head was utterly useless.
I need healing!
Dylan gasped, breathless from pain. The wolf was dead, killed by the other party members, but its jaw was still locked around his leg. Tiona and the others circled around Dylan as 2 more wolves revealed their presence. Joe dropped to his knees and worked on pulling the teeth out of Dylan's leg. A wash of fresh blood poured from the now open wound, and Joe wrapped his hand around the holes to keep pressure on the leg. With his other hand, he made a quick gesture, and water washed over the blood, leaving behind clean, unblemished skin. After twisting his leg into the socket, it took 2 more uses of his healing abilities before Dylan could use his leg again. By the time they stood up, the fight was over.
Playing your fake role 1.
2 out of 5 complete. Experience, 48. Wolf times 4. Skill gained. Medic, novice 1. Don't have access to a healer. Patch wounds together the best you can. This skill increases efficiency of bandages, medicines, and potions by 1% per skill level.
No one else even got hurt. Why is it always you? Maybe you should just give in to fate and become a tank.
The group's archer elbowed Dylan good-naturedly as Tiona worked to skin the dead animals.
You know, intentionally drawing the attacks that are coming to you anyway.
I have no idea why it happens. Maybe I just taste good.
Dylan rebutted wearily. Screaming in pain was tiring.
Also, no. Who wants to be a tank? Stand on the front line and take all the damage? Can you even imagine how much that will suck when someone is chucking a fireball at you? I don't look forward to burning to death or cooking inside my armor as it melts onto me.
Some people choose to be tanks. Some tanks are chosen. I think you are one of the chosen. Just ignore perception and put everything into constitution, the archer demanded cheekily.
Let him build his own character.
Tiona stood up and pointed at a pile of fur.
Let's find a good spot to store these and keep hunting. We can skin them later. Wolf fur is good for armor, so it'll sell nicely back in town.
Chapter 7 They were able to hunt down 2 more wolf packs before everyone judged that it was time to head back. According to Dylan, being caught out of town at night was a death sentence no matter what level you were at. They started walking back to the city as Joe looked over his gains from the hunting trip. He had gained another 96 experience from his part in killing wolves, but still hadn't ranked any of his skill above novice level 1. Trying to understand why, Joe asked Tiona what he had to do to rank them up.
Well, to boost skills, you need to use them over and over or study how to use them better. There is a common saying that to be a master of the sword, you need to have 10,000 hours of combat. If that holds true here, imagine what it takes to become a grandmaster or a sage.
Tiona shook her head in wonder.
Also, if you are good at the skill already, it will level a whole lot faster. A 5-star cook in real life apparently has his cooking skill to journeyman already. Supposedly, it is so the game will appeal to a wider variety of people. Not everyone is a combat fanatic like I am. Now, there is another way to increase skills, but it is almost as hard.
What is it?
Leveling.
She laughed at his incredulous look.
At every level, you get at least 1 skill point. Some people have said that they got more than 1, but there is no way to know how they did it. You can spend a skill point on any skill to instantly increase it by 1, but I think it is a much better idea to hoard those points until you really need them. Why bother using them on a novice skill?
1 skill point per level? That's absurd. Joe thought about how many skills and spells he already had. It would take him until level 80 to get 1 of his skills to sage rank.
You can sometimes get skill points from quest rewards, from being the first to find an area, or doing special actions. It is really hard to say how hard it will actually be to...
Joe was driven to the ground as a wolf the size of a small horse landed on him. A savage bite tore into him as his teammates screamed. They charged at the wolf as it howled in triumph. A very dazed Joe looked at the text floating in front of his eyes as he struggled to move in spite of the pain.
Sneak attack by direwolf. Double damage inflicted. Minus 60 health. Undying robe effect triggered. Health set to 1. Bleeding. Minus 5 health per 10 seconds. Stunned for 5 seconds. 4, 3.
This was a good example of being non-realistic. Though he was at only 1 hit point, he was still able to function so long as he could fight through the crippling pain. Joe waited for the stun effect to fade, mouth moving like a fish as he tried to gasp for air. The agony was almost unbearable, but the fact that he couldn't move was what was really terrifying him. He would never go back to being a quadriplegic. As soon as he could move again, the pain intensified further. Joe moved his hands and forced his spell to activate.
Lay on hands. Health +10. Bleed effect. Health -5. Heal.
health plus 5, lay on hands, health plus 10. He was able to outpace the bleed effect with his healing, and 12 seconds later, he was back to full health. There was a small benefit to having almost no constitution. He could get back on his feet much faster than a normal, beefy character. He surveyed the battle, noting that almost all of his teammates were